In contrast to Rabbi Soloveitchik's very painful approach to teshuva that I spoke about last week, which was to recreate oneself, to engage in tahara, to purify ourselves, Rav Kook has a remarkably different, much more upbeat approach for teshuva. Rav Kook describes that there is sadness, but in his Orot HaTshuva, he says that the upset thought which comes to the connection to the depths of tshuva is actually the source of joy. He says in Chelek Ches Simon Tesvav, he says that when we sense any sensation of sin comes from the divine shining on the soul, this idea itself fills with infinite joy and greatness. The fact that we recognize the sins that we committed, that should bring us tremendous joy, because that means that God's light is shining down on us, as it were, to make us recognize this fact. So Rav Kook writes that the happiness that we feel when we engage in this process is unsurpassed. There are really two different approaches about how we should feel when we engage in tshuva and repentance. Rav Soloveitchik with the classic model of suffering and bitterness, and Rav Kook acknowledging that there is some pain when we recognize the sins that we committed, but for Rav Kook, the joy that we feel during this process is unsurpassed. He writes this in Orot HaTshuva Tes Zayin Gimel, you cannot begin to evaluate the tremendous happiness that the person needs to feel in himself. From the gentle pain that pains him during the time when the holy and pure spirit of repentance descends upon him. For Rav Kook, we feel a tremendous happiness, tremendous sense of joy. And you don't find that kind of language in the writings of Soloveitchik when it comes to tshuva. The question is, why do they have such fundamentally different approaches? And the answer is, Rav Kook views tshuva very differently than Rabbi Soloveitchik. For Rav Kook, tshuva is basically a movement back to the source. He says this, Yudorot HaTshuva Yud Beis Ches, as he writes, HaTshuva B'Yisodah Hi Tnua LaShuv El Ha Mekoriyut. Tshuva in its foundation is a movement to return to the source. Teshuva literally means to return. And the question is, what or who to whom are we returning? For Rabbi Soloveitchik, we're returning to God. But for Rav Kook, it's a return to ourselves. Rav Kook in Orot HaTshuva Chelek Parakeh, Simon Aleph, he writes that a healthy body generally will remove all harmful materials to enable it to function properly. Similarly, our soul will remove all sins to enable it to function properly. Just like a functioning body feels good and brings one joy, so too a functioning soul feels good and brings joy. And that's why the tshuva process is a joyous one, according to Rav Kook. For Rav Kook, sin involves a loss of one's sense of self. And the thoughts of tshuva, therefore, ultimately reveal our deepest desires, and in fact, that desire is innate. Even when we sin, the desire to engage in tshuva is always there, because in essence, we want our souls to be healthy. And we are pained, even if we don't realize it, when we sin. And we start that process of healing when we diagnose the problem to remove a spiritually cancerous tumor inside of us, even though we know that we are pained, that we found, even though we are pained, that we found this tumor, the process to remove it is difficult. We're happy that we have diagnosed the problem and are on a path to solution, that to heal ourselves, to engage in tshuva, and to return to our original selves. He writes in Orot HaKodesh, Perek Gimel, Simon Tzadi Zion, that the chait of Adam HaRishon, which took place in Rosh Hashanah, is that he became estranged from himself. He quotes the Pasuk Ruach HaPeinu Mashiach Hashem, the breath of our nostrils, the anointed of Hashem, does not come from an external source. It is the breath of our nostrils. In other words, it comes from within. We seek ourselves, and we seek and we will find. Cook also in Orot HaTshuva, Perek Zion, Siman Dalet, he writes that the greatest, the Lefi Godlo Shel Tshuva, Kachi Midas HaChera Sheba, the greater the thoughts of Tshuva, the greater its liberation. And we're not talking about negative liberation, negative freedom, but positive freedom, like the kind that Isaiah Berlin spoke about, free to express who we truly are, free to unleash our natural selves, free to return to ourselves. Rav Kook believes that the impulse of tshuva is always there. It's always inside of us. He writes, "Hirhuri tshuva heim heim megalim es omek haratzon." The thoughts of tshuva reveal the depths of our desire. He writes in Orot HaTshuva, Perek Vav, Siman Beis, HaTshuva hi tamid shruya balev. Tshuva always resides in the heart. Afilu beis achet atzma tshuva gnuza hi banshama. Even when we sin, the impulse for tshuva is hidden in our soul. And he goes even further. And he says that tshuva even preceded the universe. He argues it's in Orot HaTshuva, Vav Beis, tshuva results in the depths of existential life, for it preceded the universe, and before sin arrives, its tshuva is already prepared. Tshuva is something that's natural and fundamentally perfect that God created within us, within all existence. Therefore, our tshuva doesn't just affect us, but it affects the natural order and improves the world. With this in mind, we can now understand the difference between the mindset of teshuva in the writings of Rav Soloveitchik and the writings of Rav Kook. For Rav Soloveitchik, there's always a conflict between the good and the bad inside of us, and our job is to impress our Tzelem Elohim, our godly form, on our formless personality. Our job, according to Rabbi Soloveitchik, is self-creation, to recreate ourselves, and teshuva, return to God after we sin, is one of the best examples of recreation, and creation can be a very unnatural, therefore a painful process. For Rabbi Soloveitchik, religion is enriching and rewarding, but the process is hard. Going through torment is enriching and invigorating. For Rav Kook, since tshuva is essentially a return to our inner selves, it is a natural process to connect with the core of my being. When I repent, I am letting out what is truly inside of me, and it helps restore the world to its natural state. So in reality, nothing is difficult when it comes to teshuva. And the act of teshuva, of repentance, brings us a tremendous amount of joy. And the beauty of Rav Kook's approach is that if we are all able to do this, then we look at every challenge not with bitterness and sadness and pain. We have a much more positive outlook with a sense of identification towards what we need to do. This is who we are, and this is what the world is. Of course, there are challenges to this approach. There may be a heavy price to pay for this approach. Some modern-day thinkers like Rav Amital was very concerned with this approach of identification because it weakens values of commitment, authority, and obligation with respect to mitzvos. He writes in one of his essays, "Youth today seek identification with mitzvos, but not commitment to them. Authority and obligation, two foundations without which it is difficult to imagine living in accordance with the Torah, have become irrelevant in these circles. Not only are these concepts not spoken about, but worse still, the very mention of these terms by someone else turns off these youth, since the connection they seek is personal, individual, and experiential. After removing authority from their lexicon, what remains? What remains is identification or connection. Those parts of the Torah, those mitzvos with which the individual can identify and which sit well with his personality, those to which his eye can attach itself experientially, these become part of his eye. And this represents the sole basis for his mitzvah observant lifestyle. A world that revolts against commitment is in fact revolting against its human nature. And I believe human nature will ultimately prevail, and this whole phenomenon, which is contrary to nature and contrary to humanity, will disappear in the not too distant future." Vamital goes so far to argue that revolting against commitment is in fact revolting against human nature. because the root of true observance is through coercion and not through free will. That's what it means to observe halacha. And Rav Aaron Lichtenstein, in a similar vein, in one of his articles, Law and Spirituality, defining the terms Jewish spirituality and divine law, he writes that I'm afraid, however, that votaries of current spirituality often tend to erode the status of Yira, and together with it, the status of the very essence of Yadus. Kabbalah Sol Machos Shamayim and Kabbalah Sol Mitzvos. In Israel today, in certain circles, much is heard of Hitchabrut as linkage, but little of Hitchayvut as obligation. Or to take a published example, what is one to make of the following affirmation by Rav Shagar, regarded as bearing affinity to current spiritual circles? Belief in the halacha, like belief in Chazal, this connection, is not necessarily derived from being sure that these sages were the wisest. Rather, its source is a kind of intimacy. Torah and Judaism, this is I. My choice of myself is the choice of Torah, of tradition. Not for naught that the sages in so many midrashim expressed their love of Torah through the metaphor of conjugal life. This realization, which Chazal termed the acceptance of the yoke of heaven, affords the personality, the possibility of contact with the infinite, and that it is absolute and primal. And Rav Lichtenstein writes, and to think that this exercise in narcissism is equated with Kabbalah's Al Malchus Shamayim. For Rav Lichtenstein, he says that believing that the idea of observing halacha is because it represents me, who I am, this is narcissistic. You have to be Mekabel Al Malchus Shamayim. View this as a yoke, as commitment, hitchayvut. And so therefore, following too much to Rav Kook's view of tshuva carries with it potential dangers. It seems to me that we need a hybrid approach. On the one hand, the feeling of absolute commitment to halachic observance, even when you don't feel that it represents you, that it's not natural. But maybe Rav Kook is telling us that even when we struggle to be better and do tshuva, we should work towards realizing that if we dig deep enough, what we are doing is not against our innermost self. Deep down, we are returning to ourselves and returning the world to its pristine state. And that process should bring us tremendous joy.